Christ freely gives, he gives to you and me, to be his church, his bride, his chosen, saved and free. Saints blessed with these rich gifts, are children who proclaim that they were won by Christ and cling to his strong name. The gifts flow from the font where he calls us his own. New life he gives that makes us his and his alone. Here he forgives our sins with water and his word. The triune God himself gives power to call him Lord. The gifts of grace and peace from absolution flow. The pastor's words are Christ for us to trust and know. Forgiveness that we need is granted to us there. The Lord of mercy sends us forth in his blessed care. The gifts are there each day. The Holy Word is read. God's children listen, hear, receive, and they are fed. Christ fills them with himself, blessed words that give them life, restoring and refreshing them for this world's strife. The gifts are in the feast, gifts far more than we see. Beneath the bread and wine is food from Calvary. The body and the blood remove our every sin. We leave his presence in his peace renewed again. All glory to the one who lavishes such love. The triune God in love assures our life above. His means of grace for us are gifts he loves to give. All thanks and praise for his great love by which we live.
Calvary, that's a good question.
Isn't it?
Anybody else know what Calvary is?
Isn't it where people ride on horses?
Oh, well, that is true, right? But whenever we're talking about the Bible, that is not Calvary. Okay. But you are right, just not in the confirmation sense. Anybody else? What if I said Golgotha? Do you know what Golgotha is?
Sounds like a person.
Yeah, you got it. So Calvary's cross, it's where Jesus is crucified, right? So Calvary, so beneath the bread and wine is food from Calvary.
Oh.
So why is it food from Calvary?
Body and blood from God's crucifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, it's pretty gory. But it's great because since he went through it, you don't have to, right? And so that's the food that you receive is Christ's sacrifice for your forgiveness.
If we get check marks on these, are they good?
Check marks are good, but you didn't do the back side of that. Yeah.
Pastor, I have another question.
Yeah.
Is
supposed to be glad to go to heaven to die?
Okay, so you're asking, is what? So can you rephrase it in a different way? What you're trying to ask? Should we be glad to go to heaven? Yes. Yes.
But should we be glad to die and leave our families?
Well.
Yeah, like to leave our.
Well, you're gonna see them again, so unless they go down under.
That is true. So here's the thing. So let's put it this way. Should we seek death sooner than when the Lord would have us to die? No, absolutely not. God is the God of life, and He wants you to live, right? And ultimately, whenever, you know, you or me or anybody else is taken out of this world is not our decision, and it shouldn't be other people's decision, but it should be the Lord's decision, right? And so, certainly, whenever someone who dies, it's tragic. Death is sad. We should be sad about that because of who that person was, right? But we do have hope, and we rejoice in the fact that death isn't the end of them, that they do live in a real way, and that there is more life to come in the resurrection. So should we be glad when someone dies? Not in the typical sense of being glad.
Unless we know for a fact that they're going to heaven, right?
Well,
we don't know exactly.
Sure. We never know exactly, but for those who die in the Lord, who die receiving the gifts which we talk, the gifts which Christ freely gives that we sing about here, we can be sure and confident that they are in heaven because why? Who did they have faith and trust in above even themselves?
Christ.
Christ, yeah, God, right? Receiving His gifts. And so, although we mourn, although we're sad, we don't mourn as people who don't have hope, who can't rejoice, who can't be glad in some sense. Okay? Does that make sense? So it's kind of this weird, we're happy, but we're sad. Right?
Sappy.
Yeah.
Sappy.
We're sappy.
Is it wrong to, like, think of how you want to die? Like, if you want to die in your sleep, that way you don't know you're dead?
So you don't suffer.
No, I mean, it's typically, we typically, it's a useless kind of thought exercise, so to speak, because ultimately it's not us who are the author of life. It's the Lord, right? And so we can think about those things, but we shouldn't, one, desire those things, and we shouldn't dwell on those things, and we shouldn't let it distract us from the Lord.
We shouldn't want to.
Yeah, no. No, we should not want to die.
No, like, in a specific way.
Oh, well.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, just don't dwell on it. Yeah, don't. Yeah. Allison?
Okay, so one day I overheard my mom and dad talking on the phone. And my mom.
Uh-oh.
So my dad has this friend named Barbadino. My dad has this friend named Barbadino, and she passed away just, I think, how long ago?
Yeah, the other day.
The other day? And somebody texted.
Hey.
Maybe this is an inappropriate time to be asking this, and we should. Let's continue on with the catechism because we gotta learn our catechism, and we forgot to do the creed last time. So now we really gotta make up what we say in class. So 322 in your hymnal.
We got this.
I mean, you can if you really want to, but I don't have it with me right now, and it'd be easier to just tell you to go to 322 in the hymnal, but, you know, that's cool.
15.
So the creed. Okay, thank you, Emmett. All right, so we'll start with the first article. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I have to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. The second article. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. That I may be his own and live under him and his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, this is most certainly true. The third article. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. All right, we'll stop there for now. I have a question. Well, is it a short one?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Lutherans and Baptists the same?
No.
They think different.
We're actually pretty different and
we're the same thing, but
we both believe in God. The same God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How God comes to us, we ultimately think different things. We think different things about the nature of how sinful we are, right? We ultimately differ in how we come to faith, right? Whereas a Baptist might say, well, I've chosen Jesus as my Lord and Savior. A Lutheran would say, as we just confessed in the third article of the Creed, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. Right? So I can't accept God because I'm dead in my sins. And so God needs to come and rescue me. He's the one acting in Lutheran theology. The Lord's always the one acting on us, resurrecting us, reviving us. Whereas another, maybe a traditional Baptist, depending on who they are, because they're different. But And most often they would say, well, I do something that is pleasing and acceptable to God. And you kind of lift up my praises to God. I lift up my... So it's kind of like what... Remember what worship is? Do you remember the definition of worship? What's that? Right, that's a part of it. But in our definition of worship last year, we said that worship is receiving God's gifts, right? And certainly there's praising and prayers and all that kind of stuff that go in there. But the number one thing about worship is what? What's the most important word in that definition of worship?
Praise.
Well, it goes along with gifts, but it's receiving.
Oh.
Right? And in Lutheran theology, we're receivers. Right? Yeah, like football. Yeah. Receivers. Right? That's right. But in other ways people think, they're more doing God-pleasing things, and that's what makes them a faithful Christian. Does that make sense? You see the difference there?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, whenever I'm acting, and my faith and my salvation depend on things that I do, am I going to do well?
No.
Not for long. Because at the end of the day, I am a
sinner.
And what do sinners do?
Sin.
They do a whole lot of sinning. Now, if Jesus is the one acting out salvation for me, and I simply receive his gifts, then is salvation seem like something more feasible? Don't you think so? If God's acting it out, can God fail?
No.
Does he always accomplish his purpose and his will? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, in Lutheran theology, we always focus on the cross. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay? Why would we focus on that?
Because that's where he saved us.
That is where God is the actor of salvation in our lives. That's where he is the actor of the verbs, we would say. Right? And certainly we can do certain things, but our salvation is not dependent upon it. The strength of our faith doesn't depend on us doing things, but faith ultimately, at the end of the day, seeks to be with Christ. So, we're talking about gifts. What are the gifts that we receive?
Life, forgiveness, love.
Life, forgiveness, salvation, love, all those kinds of things. Let's think in terms of what we talked about last week, means of grace. That's true. That is very true.
I was going to say this last week, but when I was going to confirmation, the pastor explained the word grace to us as undeserved kindness.
Right, right. Yeah, it's
you don't deserve
right.
Any of it.
Right. Undeserved kindness, undeserved favor, undeserved love, really. And so where do we receive undeserved favor? Whenever we say undeserved favor, what do you deserve? Even worse than that, hell. Yes, our sins deserve hell. You know, that's kind of a scary thing. But it's true nonetheless. But we receive God's undeserved favor, his undeserved kindness, through the means of grace. OK? Okay, so what are the means of grace?
The office of the keys.
Nope. But it that's associated with something that we talk about.
I got it's on the tomb.
Where do you receive forgiveness from God?
Feast.
Okay, the feast, what do we call that?
Oh, the Lord's Supper.
The Lord's Supper is one?
Congregation.
Nope.
This is hard.
Baptism? We went over this last week, guys.
Hold on, I have to write it down so I can study.
Yeah, you got... All right, I know we're going to be studying every beginning of every class now. All right, Lord's Supper, baptism, and... How else can you receive forgiveness?
Oh, money bread.
Which is the Lord's Supper.
Forgiveness?
Okay, how do we get forgiveness?
Asking for praying.
Yeah, okay, what do we call that when we ask for forgiveness?
Praise.
Okay, repentance. What are we repenting of? We
sin.
Sin. We can
confess our sin.
Confess our
sin.
Thank you.
Confession
and absolution. Okay.
That went a long time.
Yeah.
It did. Why, okay, Lord's Supper, why would we call that a means of grace? Why would we call this, a means of receiving the Lord's undeserved favor?
Because we ask for
it. Yes, Jesus sacrifices himself on the
cross.
And on the cross he suffered in body and blood, right? And he says in the Lord's Supper, this is my body, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And so every time we eat and drink of this, we're eating and drinking forgiveness. So we receive the forgiveness through... body and blood. What's that? Right. So, body and blood, bread and wine, right? It's not just bread and wine, and it's not just body and blood, but it's bread and wine, body and blood. Okay? We receive forgiveness. We receive God's unmerited favor in the Lord's Supper. How do we receive forgiveness, God's unmerited favor in baptism? Right. That's when he claims us. And how does he, what does he use whenever he does that?
Oh, through water.
Through water. Okay, it's through water and the
word.
Yes. So baptism is forgiveness through water and word. Oh, and by the way, what else is here in bread and wine? What's attached to the bread and wine? Words, right? Okay. Confession and absolution. How do we receive forgiveness?
Praying
literally means forgiveness.
Yeah, absolution literally means forgiveness, right? And so it's forgiveness pronounced to you through words, spoken to you through words. Right?
I can't read that.
What?
The word beside forgiveness.
Spoken.
Through?
No.
This one?
Yeah.
Spoken.
Can you not read?
Going
thank
really
you.
Fast.
Can you not read his beautiful handwriting?
They all have the
word.
Yes, thank you. Yes, they all have his word. They all have his word, right? And whatever he says is true. Whatever he says happens, right? In Scripture, whenever he created the world, he said, "Let there be light." And what happened?
There was light.
There was light.
Light. Whenever he said, "Let there be light."
Whenever Jesus approached a dead young man and he says, "Young man, I say to you, arise."
He arises.
He arises. He
arose.
He arose. He arose. You got me saying bad grammar. Thank you.
Sorry.
He arose. So Jesus' words make things happen. Jesus' words are powerful. Jesus' words are able to forgive you. It's how he works his forgiveness. Okay? And so, the question is, can we, without these, be Christians?
No, sir.
No.
Especially from baptism.
Why? Why?
Because God said, in order to go to heaven, you have to get baptized.
He basically says that, yeah.
Well,
right?
And then the Lord could still be a Christian with confession and absolution?
Yes. That's the beauty of the word, right? Forgiveness, God offers it in all these different ways. But here's the thing. Here's the catch. If you want just confession and absolution, but you don't want these gifts, you know what that's kind of like? I'm not sure if I've used this example with you before, but let's say Christmas time is here, right? And right, and what's one of the greatest things that I remember from Christmas is going, well, absolutely presents, but also going to like my grandma's house, and she had like hot cider, she had cookies, she had stuff being baked and all that kind of stuff, right? And she had a feast for us, and we opened gifts, we had a good time, we watched the Christmas story. I'm super nostalgic about it. It was great. Okay?
You're not doing it anymore?
Well, so here's the thing. We're in a COVID year. Well, I don't do it anymore just because I've been off in school and all that kind of stuff.
Are you in school still?
Well, I was. All right, circle back. But, okay, if for Christmas, you know, especially during a COVID year, you know, you're not supposed to go see your elderly and, you know, all that kind of stuff. What if instead of going and seeing your grandma for Christmas and having that all those great gifts that grandma made for you and prepared for you, what if she just sent a postcard with $20 in it?
No. But still not.
It's still a gift, right?
Yeah, but still you're not.
But it's not the greatest that she could give you.
Yeah.
She could send you.
There's a lot more you should want. There's a lot more to be desired, right? Yeah. Yeah.
What you could do is get video call and
yeah.
Have your grandma send you the food she makes and everything, and y'all all watch the Christmas movie or whatever y'all watch.
See,
you
but...
You get a candle that smells like baking goods, and you zoom together and eat and boom.
See, you're... Okay, but you're still missing... You're
missing the point.
Well, you are missing the point. That is for sure. But you're still missing something. Right, it's kind of like so. It's the same. It's the same here, right?
You want to visit all your family.
Just because you have forgiveness here doesn't mean that the Lord is done trying to give you things like through the Lord's Supper, through baptism, because in each of these, He's actually, you know, we certainly receive forgiveness through all of them, but it's forgiveness plus something, right? Forgiveness plus body and blood. Which is a unique gift that the Lord gives.
Ooh.
Right?
I don't know if this would be the right purpose. I don't think this would be the right purpose to say this, but we just talked about it in class today. Beggars should not be choosers, maybe? I don't know.
Not, kind of, not really. So here's the point of it, right? So the point of this, well, and the unique thing you receive in baptism, real quick to finish my train of thought, unique thing you receive in baptism is, what specific word do you receive in baptism?
His word.
What is, yeah, and what does he say to you in your baptism? I baptize you in
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So the unique thing you receive in baptism is God's
forgiveness,
which in his word is his name.
Oh.
Right? You receive the name of God. That's the unique thing you receive in baptism. And then in confession and absolution, you really receive, well, it's forgiveness, and with that comes, you know, without confusing you in going into a deep theological tangent, you have a pastor who's there to care for you.
What, I do?
Yeah, that's right. So that's the means of grace, okay? What were we talking? How did we get here? Baptists, how are Baptists different from Lutherans?
Yes.
This is a...
We still been on that
We're
track.
Still on that?
I think so. So a Baptist does not believe the same things as we do about these. They don't believe that it offers forgiveness.
They only take the Lord's Supper maybe twice a year.
Right, but it's not for the forgiveness of sins.
And they
what?
Get baptized as grandmother and Paul did that?
Yeah, they don't
take
twice a year. I just thought of something.
And then they get baptized
until
they were teenagers.
What? That's not right.
Just because they believe different things doesn't mean they're necessarily like not Christians.
Correct. Because they do have the postcard from grandma. It's still a gift, but there's more to be desired, right? So we should have comfort that even though grandma goes to a Baptist church, she's still a Christian, right? And we shouldn't say we're better than you, because what is right. I would say that we express our beliefs in Christ in a more biblical way. But, you know, everyone has different ways of an emphasis on Scripture. So, that's the short of it.
I noticed something. All three of those have forgiveness in them.
Yep.
All three of those have word in them, and all three of them have through in them.
You got it! Well, no, what's the main thing?
Forgiveness.
Thank you. Yes. Forgiveness is the main thing.
But there
all right.
is through
and through. Alright. Anything else?
No, sir.
Alright. Let's get on to
this.
We gotta get moving, guys.
I can.
Here, let me. Yeah, if I'm still going and stuff, let me know.
All right,
let's go to lesson number 6, okay? So let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38.
That would be cool if I turned right to it. I turned right to it. Look.
All right.
Wait, Luke?
So that's 1588 in your Bible, Allison. Allison.
Huh?
1588. Page 1588.
What about the
first
one?
I go to the thing,
1586. I don't know. That's a different one than this.
I'm Luke,
though. Okay, well, yeah, you're right there. So, verse 26.
Okay. Oh, I turned right to Luke.
Awesome. Okay. All right, so can someone start reading? Yes, please, Olivia. Go 26 through 33.
Did you say 1588 for me?
Yeah.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind that what manner was salvation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call him his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord of God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and for his kingdom there shall be no end.
What chapter are we on?
Luke chapter 1.
Yeah, I was all the way on 24.
Yeah, it's 1588. All right. And can someone read 34 through 38? Allison.
How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who has said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Did I stop there?
Yeah, one more verse.
Oh. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left.
Okay, so let's start with the first question. How did the angel greet the Virgin Mary?
I don't have it down, but I know it.
Let's hear it.
In a dream.
No.
It wasn't a dream.
It wasn't a dream.
This is what I said. Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
Yeah, exactly.
And she was ready for her wedding, maybe, I think?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, she was. So the angel greeted Mary. It wasn't in a dream, but it was just appeared to her. Well, but it wasn't like her wedding was happening that day. Her wedding was pretty far off. She was just engaged. Like how, you know, we get engaged today. It's like if I told Rachel, will you marry me? We're not married yet. We're just engaged. Well, that is if she says yes. It's a big, big. She did say yes at one point.
I mean, you got a ring on your finger.
That's right, and then I got a ring on my finger.
It could be a crossword.
What?
All right. So the angel Gabriel greeted Mary, not in a dream, in real and in person. And how? What was she said? Oh, highly favored one. Oh, highly favored lady.
Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
Yes.
But I got it from a different reference edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Why was she favored? Why was she called the favored one, do you think?
Because the Lord
wanted her specifically to have Jesus.
Yes, because the Lord wanted her to have Jesus. Why her of all women?
I have no idea. Because she was holy.
Wrong answer. That is a Catholic answer. You, it's okay, you didn't know. Well, that's true. That's part of the prophecy that's coming to fulfillment. But the answer is because, well, short answer, we don't know. Right? So, but God chose her out of his grace, out of his mercy.
First person he popped up in his mind.
Well, I mean, but we do see in how Mary responds why maybe he chose Mary. Because how does Mary respond to this?
Yeah.
Emmett, what did you say? Well, let's look at verse 38. And what does she say?
I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her.
So we see, Allison, can you sit down? So we see this angel appeared to Mary, says you're going to give birth to Jesus, who will save his people from their sins, and his kingdom will never end. It'll be forever. And so Mary very astutely says, well, how can this be? So she's not questioning, she's not doubting what the angel said, but she's asking, well, how can this be if I'm a virgin, right? If I've never had a husband, I've never, you know, had sex before, right? Because in order to be pregnant,
I didn't know that was a virgin. I thought, whenever I think of virgin, I think of the Western show Virginia.
Oh my gosh. A virgin is someone who's never had
it. All right, so that's what a virgin is. She's never been with a man before, okay? Which typically that's how you would get pregnant, right? And so this is the miraculous nature of the conception of Jesus, how Jesus comes to be in Mary, right? So it's not that she's known her husband Joseph, but instead, who will come to Mary?
Mary and Joseph.
Who's going to come to Mary?
Oh, Elizabeth.
Jesus.
Elizabeth.
How? How? Yeah, Jesus will be in Mary's womb. How does she get there?
A donkey.
Nope.
What? Oh, get where?
Read the Bible.
Elizabeth. 35,
verse
35. I call reading it. Oh, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.
So who brings Jesus?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
The power of the Most High.
So we say that in the creed, right? We just confess the Apostles' Creed. Born of the Virgin Mary, or who was conceived by the
Holy Spirit.
Born of the
Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
Okay. We got it. Okay. So that's what it means to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Right? So there's nothing special necessarily about Mary. It's not as if there's anything that she's ever done in her life that made her worthy of this. But what we do know about her, and maybe what led to God's choosing of Mary, was her response. And her response was,
"Okay,
let it happen. Yeah, okay, let's do this, right?" She says, "I am your servant. Let it be done as you have said," right? And it's faith that says that, right? Only faith can respond to the words of the Lord in that kind of way, right? So whenever the Lord commands something of you,
you do it.
And that's what faith says. She's like, unless I am your servant, Lord, and as you have said, let it happen unto me, right?
Unless sin has come upon you.
Well, sin does happen to come upon you, and whenever you disobey the Lord, then we call that sin, right? But Emmett, did you have a question?
No.
Okay. Allison, do you have a question?
Yes. Whenever you said, how did she get there? I thought you meant how did she get to Bethlehem, so that's why you're a donkey.
Gotcha.
Because she rode on a donkey.
Okay. So why, I accidentally said in the question, why was Mary afraid? I meant to say, was Mary afraid?
Yes.
So
I thought I read it differently.
So why would you say yes?
Because it said it in the Bible.
No, she was not afraid. She
did it really? Oh, it says do not be afraid. Yes, it does.
Oh.
So it says 29, Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So she was scared, not because of the message of her being conceived with Jesus. She was startled. Okay, so let's just go through this.
How did you get in my mouth?
If an angel appeared to you right now, what's your first response?
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty freaked out, right? Right? And Mary was a
virgin.
Well, right. But she was also a sinner, right? And sinners, whenever they're in the presence of God, God doesn't like sin, so that might cause Mary to be afraid.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because there's a holy God who sends his holy messenger to be in front of an unholy sinner. That's scary. Right? So she was afraid of that. But she wasn't afraid of the message that the angel delivered. She simply said, "Yes, I am the Lord's servant. Do unto me as you have said." Right. What was that exactly the angel's announcement to Mary concerning Mary? Yeah, that's right. You shall conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name
Jesus.
Right. So, and by the very word of it, it happened. Exactly.
So was Jesus conceived right then, or later on?
I would lead to think just by the way that the Lord's word works, Lord's word works. Whenever it's spoken into an existence and it creates, just like at creation, right? Whenever the Lord creates at creation, he says, "Let there be light," and there's light.
Well, but
sometimes it makes you leave that future tense, like it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. So how could it have happened if?
I would probably say that I see what you're saying. I would probably say that the narrative seems to indicate that it happens then, because then right after that Mary goes to see Elizabeth, and you kind of have the traditional narrative and way of being for there on out, and so that's probably what I would say. Yeah, I see how you could take that a different way, though. So, what do the names and titles given to Mary's child mean and indicate about her child? Yeah, he'll be great. He'll be the Son of God. He will be called the Son of God, right? He'll be... His name will be Jesus here? Yeah, and you'll give him the name Jesus. Do you know what the name, it doesn't say it in this gospel, but it says in Matthew's gospel. But do you know what the name Jesus means? It means Yahweh saves. And who is Yahweh?
What does that mean?
Who's Yahweh?
God.
Yeah, Yahweh is God. Yahweh is the Hebrew word for God. Okay? So God saves. Okay? That's right. And so Jesus means God saves, and that's the significance of not only names in ancient times like that, their names actually spoke something about who they were. With Jesus, his name tells us a little bit of something about him. And so, who did Mary carry in her tomb? Or in her tomb. In her womb, I'm sorry.
Jesus,
the Son of God. Both true man and true...
True woman? What?
Not true spirit, but true... God, yes. True man and true God. No. Faith is not a person. Faith is what the Lord gives to us to receive his gifts.
Faith is a person. I know a person named Faith.
Well, okay, that is a name, but biblically speaking, it's not a name per se, not a person. Okay, so let's go on to the next question. Why is the virgin conception of the Son of God important for our salvation? This one's hard. So did you look at Romans 5:19? What do you think?
I said we shall always try our best to be good.
Okay, well, so what does that have to do with the virgin conception?
What does that mean? Wait. I read it. Romans.
Well,
5:19.
Let's just say why was it important... Okay, so what is... Yeah, go to... Here, let me read Romans 5:19 for you, okay? And then we'll kind of talk this out. Romans 5:19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. Who's that talking about? Adam. Yes, through one man sin came into the world.
Oh.
So also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. And who's the one man there?
God.
Time. Jesus. Yeah, right? Jesus is the one man. I know. We're undoing terrible about that.
That first question got us
going. Okay, so let's everybody stop what you're doing right now. Let's fold your hands and we'll say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Why do we sound like robots?